Hi there, and welcome back to the Frontline Security Podcast. With me today is Daniel Blackwood, the Managing Director of ResponseSec, a security company specializing in big events. And today we're going to be diving into Daniel's journey to becoming MD, the ins and outs of working in event security, and some tips and tricks for anybody who's thinking of doing the same. Here's what's coming up.
I've been quite lucky to work on some of the best events in the UK. I've dealt with so much trying to argue with an artist who's on the stage who doesn't want to come off the stage, and his bodyguards are trying to fight me when I'm trying to grab the mic off him. It's quite challenging, and they were very big guys. My head was in that space of, let's get everyone out of here. The show has to stop. Like I said, I'm still learning. There's still going to be a scenario that I've never dealt with, but I'm up for the challenge.
Right, first of all, Daniel, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you very much for the invite.
Should we go right to the start? What made you first start working in security?
So I think when I left school, I wanted to join the police force. Wasn't too sure how that was going to go. A lot of my friends were in security at the time. And I'm talking 25 years ago now, so I know I don't look that old, but 25 years ago. But I wanted to look at the police, and I looked at private security, and I thought that was my journey. So I started as soon as I was legally able to, which was 18, went into security, started from a retail background. So spent a lot of time in supermarkets and shops, done that for a good few years, working in some of the toughest parts of London, catching shoplifters, and then sort of like went into the events and club sector. And that's where it started, really, the journey.
And do you remember the first event you worked? Was that kind of like, okay, this is for me. This is where I want to be.
I think I started more in a club scene. So originally I started as a doorman, and I was working in a club in Watford. I remember now, called Area. Good times. I was a young doorman. Wasn't as chubby. worked on the club doors. You know, it was good fun being young, working around older doormen. And back then, doormen were very different. It was, they were called bouncers back then, not the door supervisors we know today. There wasn't the SIA, that kind of thing. So you had a council license back then. And doormen were quite respected. They were all big, burly people. So it was always like kind of looking up to those, and they were like my inspiration to get further into the security industry. But I was always like a businessman on the side. I was always buying and selling things. I was a bit of a hustler when I was younger, all legal. And sort of like went into business, and I think my first security business I started when I was 21. So it was quite young. I had a shop, and I remember I wasn't getting a lot of money. I was making about £1 an hour or something like that. Funny enough, one of the guys that worked for me is still a good friend of mine. We just had a little shop. I still worked full time, but I had the shop on the side, and that was kind of my journey there. And I started saying, well, you can do this. You can get a security guard here, put him there, make a few pounds off it. And that's exactly how it started.
And then from then, was that when ResponseSec was born?
Or? So ResponseSec came a good few years later. And don't get me wrong, ResponseSec at the moment is a great business. It's really good for me, but I've won and lost many times in business. It's not easy. Especially when I was younger, you get money, you don't know what to do with it. You can go a little bit crazy. I had all the fast cars and all that, but didn't have nothing else. Went through a few struggles like that. Business went downhill, came back up. We always had a lot of people supporting us. So people would come to me for a certain type of service. So if they had a certain event on, they would ask me to bring certain types of guys there to look after those type of events. And that's basically where it started. And the journey just went on and on and on and on from there to what it is today, a growing business, probably one of the larger event companies in London. So we're up there in the same level as some of the real big boys, catching up with them even more. We cover a lot of festivals for a lot of clients. And yeah, we enjoy it. We enjoy what we do.
So do you think when you first started and set up that first security company, is that kind of what kind of helped progress ResponseSec, building up those contacts, learning those experiences?
Yeah, a lot of it comes from contacts now, recommendations. We don't have to have a sales department or anything like that. A lot of work comes to us. So people give us a call, or they'll know me and they'll say, oh, Dan, can you look at this job for us? Look at this festival. Everything comes from word of mouth and recommendations. We haven't, luckily over the years, I've never had to have a salesperson come in and do that, because your reputation in this business is everything. And I've been quite lucky to work on some of the best events in the UK and some stuff worldwide as well. So it's been a good journey, and it's still growing. I'm still learning every day, still picking up new work. But we're at a place now where we can decide what we want to do. Whereas before, you'd probably take everything and maybe regret some of them.
Now, you mentioned there that ResponseSec is probably one of the biggest event security firms in London.
I'm going to take that. You know, it's not the biggest, but we're in the league. We're just under the league, right? They're just sitting there.
You're on the table.
Mid place, yeah.
What made you decide to specialise solely in events, so like festivals, gigs and that kind of thing?
I think that's just where my forte was. And I think that's what I enjoy to do, the mass deployments or doing specialist stuff at other festivals. So some festivals we do, we might be there with other big companies, but we might just specialise in a certain part, whether that's response teams or enhanced search or supplying the dogs outside or the external. I just wasn't into the club sector, the club and pubs. It wasn't really for me. We do some what we call super clubs, some big venues, but I wasn't into doing pubs and stuff like that. It just wasn't for me. The stress comes with it. A doorman calls in sick. It's only a one-man door. Your doorman gets attacked at 2 a.m. You're having to... And I did stuff like that when I was younger, you know, getting out of bed, going to sort it out. It just wasn't my journey, and events is really what I love to do. It's not easy. There's a lot of pre-stuff. Before people can go and enjoy themselves, there's a lot of work that goes into it, a lot of stress. But that is where our forte is. We do other stuff as well in rail and other parts of security, but our main business is an event-based business.
And what would you say is the main differences between running an event-based security company and, like you mentioned, a door-based company?
I think that events involves a lot more. I think with a pub, you know, the landlord calls you, I need 2 doormen on a Friday and Saturday night. You know, you find 2 doormen, you put them there. With an event, there's a lot more that goes into it. There's the meetings, there's the pre-planning, there's all the logistics that goes around it, you know, whether that's booking the staff, whether that's sorting their lunches out, whether that's uniform, washing the kit. You know, sometimes my house used to, I remember when I first started, my house used to have 100 high vises hanging in there. There's a lot involved. Whereas a door and a club is kind of just your Friday, Saturday night, you kind of know what you're doing. But events, sometimes we're planning them from 6 to 8 months in advance, sometimes even a year, because there's so much involved in it. You know, you look at New Year's Eve, we start talking about that in February. Some of the summer festivals, we were talking about them last year. So it's getting ready for them and planning. And things change, obviously, last minute, but at the start of it, there's a lot of work to be done. People don't understand that. They go and enjoy themselves, buy a ticket, get drunk, party. There's a lot that goes into making sure people are safe in those events.
Yeah. Now, focusing solely on event security, what are the main responsibilities of a security professional at, say, a big event?
So for me, it's customer safety. We can use the word crowd management as well. We can go into that a bit more in detail, but customer safety is the most important thing. People can come to that event, get to the event from wherever they're coming from, get into that event safely, feel safe inside, leave and get home safely, you know, and enjoy the day. You know, so much goes into that piece, and it's not easy. It's challenging, but it's to make sure that everyone comes and leaves safely.
I can imagine one of the biggest challenges is making sure everyone is safe,
yeah,
goes home safe and everything, but also has a good time. How do you balance safety with also making sure people still have a good time?
That is challenging, and I think it's quite hard because promoters often, they, you know, they're running it, they've got profits to make, they need to look at different things, and it's saying, well, we need this much security here to do this, and they've got to look at budgets, they've got to pay artists, there's a lot involved in it. And I don't envy the festival organisers, what they go through to put a festival on, it is challenging. And I only sit in one sector of that, in the security sector or crowd safety, but you know, there's so much else involved. There's crew, there's cleaning, there's so much. So that is quite challenging. And I think that, you know, sometimes we have arguments with clients and we're battling about one person or 2 people. But a lot has changed since sort of like Astro World and the disaster there. So I think people are more and more watching crowd safety and keeping an eye on it. And we as crowd safety professionals need to be watching the crowd a lot more and making sure people are coming and going home safely, because things can happen very quickly in crowds. And some of these festivals you do is up to 50,000 people. And you imagine they're all in one space in front of a stage. Something could go wrong. So really, really important.
Yeah. Well, we'll move on to crowd safety in a little bit. But you still work yourself, don't you? You're still boots on the ground.
I love it. I'm not a suit guy, as you can see. I'm a T-shirt, combats and boots guy. I get out on the ground. A lot of people tell me off for it. A lot of my team probably tell me you need to have a rest. But I love what I do. I love getting out there. And my team, we're all hands on. Unfortunately, if you come to my company as an administrator, you will work in the field. That is where someone's laughing in the background, but that is exactly what it is. We are all hands on deck. It's part of the industry. It's part of what we do. I love it. I love getting out there. I love putting my earpiece on. I love getting out in the field, talking to the staff. We are nothing without the staff. You know, I can do all the planning, but without those guys on the ground and my senior team, we are nothing.
I suppose as well, you kind of need to do it to kind of fully understand how, I mean, it's constantly changing environments and things. So by you being there,
yeah,
you can fully understand it and communicate with the team more.
Definitely. And I think the team respect that. I think the guys on the ground like to see me. I hope they do anyway. Probably don't sometimes when I catch them on their phones or something. But in general, you know, they like to see the management team out there. And it's very important for me that we look after those guys because we need them to be switched on. We need them to be alert. We need them to be dealing with issues. And a lot of that involves what we tell them, what we brief them, how good our briefing is towards the staff, how much information we give them. They're really, really important to be out on the ground.
100%. We touched on before about all the pre-planning that goes into running these events. Talk to me about your main responsibilities when you are leading an event.
So you start probably from the first part, you're starting talking about how many staff you need, what you need. So, you know, the client might come to us and say, right, I've got this festival, I'm putting it on. And this is talking about a new festival, for example. A lot of the ones you do year by year, you learn as you go along and you might change something the following year. But if it's a new festival, they'll come to us and say, we're putting this on. It's 5,000 people. It's in a field in Croydon. We're going to use this type of fence. We've got these artists. So we do the risk assessments, method assessments. You look at all that kind of stuff. Who's coming? What the clientele is like? What the transport links are like? How we can get people in and out? What the license requirements are for the council? There could be police meetings. You might sit and go to a police meeting. You probably do a tabletop exercise, which is an exercise we do multi-agency where we all sit around the table, the ambulance service, the fire brigade, security, cleaners, everyone, and talk about how you deal with something if it went wrong. They're really, really important, and most events now do them pre-event. And then you start getting into the sort of like the numbers game, the planning, how much kit you're going to need, how much staff you're going to need, how much supervisors you're going to need. There is so much involved, literally so much. And if I didn't have my team that work with me, I'd struggle. And I'm going to give a shout out to Nav, who's our operations director, who is like the event king. He does a lot of that kind of planning side of things and gets it all together. And I just come and take the glory, to be honest. I'm joking.
Yeah, it's fair to say there's a little bit of work that goes into each
other. A lot of work. But people don't understand that. They don't understand. It is tough. It is tough. Even just getting the kit, you know, loading the van, getting the kit, getting it to site, the logistics when you get to site, you know, signing all the staff in. When you've got a multiple job where, for example, there's 100 to 150 staff, you've got to sign them all in. You've got to give them a high vis. You've got to give them a lunch pack. You've got to give them water. You've got to give them a poncho in case it rains. You've got to then deploy them, put them into their positions, explain to them those positions, show them what wristband has to come through that point, show them who's allowed to come through. Oh, it's not easy.
Yeah. So many things that I'm sure most people don't even
think
realize.
Of. Yeah, they don't realize.
Like you've said, they're ponchos.
Yeah. If it's raining, ponchos, you know, if it's sunny, hats and sun cream. And we have like welfare and logistics teams that go around and check on the staff. But like I said, without the staff, we are nothing.
Now, we all know how crucial security officers are at these big events, obviously keeping everyone safe. Yeah. But how important is it to make sure you've got a good team working?
It's really important, especially in certain positions. You need to make sure you have the right people in those positions. You know, there's a lot of people in the security industry at the moment, but not all are suitable for certain roles. And you really need to make sure that you're picking the right people for the right roles and making sure people are using their skill set in what you're using them for. You have to have the right leaders. It is down to the leaders. It's down to the middle management. It's down to the supervisor on the ground. A good supervisor will motivate those staff so that they're happy. They come to work, they enjoy it. Because festivals can be long shifts. You could be working 12 to 15 hours and without, you know, maybe one or two breaks in the day in the sun. And it's down to that supervisor to motivate. And it's down to my managers to motivate them and down for me to motivate the managers. Or it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that a good event is not a good event without good security, really.
100%.
It keeps everything
running 100%. Smoothly. I'm not going to take all the glory for running an event because there is a lot of cogs, but security is an important part of that. Security, safety is a very, very important part of any event or festival.
Have you got an example of where you think your team maybe made a real difference in an event?
You're going to put me on the spot here. I'm just going to say every time. You know, I think that whatever we do, it's really, really important for that event. And, you know, there's events we do with multiple company as well. And I think that's become more popular now. Before, it used to be called like one company would run an event. But a lot more events now are kind of multiple companies. So you might have three or four companies. And it's like getting along, working together, making sure you're all looking after your piece. But, you know, you sit and you plan together so that you are one in the end if something went wrong and you needed to evacuate the site or there was a terror attack or something dramatic like that.
Now, we touched on there how pretty much loads of things can go wrong in an event. How do you make sure that your staff are properly trained for all sorts of kind of scenarios?
So training is key to every event and every security officer's career. You obviously do the SIA training to start with. For stadiums, you do something called an MVQ Level 2 in spectator safety. That is kind of the basic training you need to do to work in a stadium. So a football stadium, rugby, any stadium. There's different levels of that. You have a Level 3, which is for supervisors, and you have a Level 4, which is for safety officers. You also look at stuff like Ask Angela, wave training, things like that are really, really important to help support the customers that are attending the events. Briefings are really critical. If you're working in a pit barrier, doing the Level 2 in pit safety, so you know how to remove someone from a pit correctly without hurting yourself or hurting that member of the public. As much as you can, give them, and it's really, really, we do quite intense briefing documents. We do pre-briefings. We brief everyone for at least half an hour before the event starts and just remind them of their responsibilities. But there is lots of different training courses that are out there. I would say the NVQ is probably the most common one for stadia. It's not really aimed at the festival scene, but it does help you. Definitely wave training, knowing how to spot, you know, vulnerable people in crowds. There's a lot of work at the moment with VOG, violence against women and girls, and how we can protect people that are out there, especially women and girls who have unfortunately been subject to different issues when they're out and about. So really, really important that staff can spot those things. ACT is obviously another crucial one. Anything to do around counter-terrorism, how we can spot hostile reconnaissance, how we can spot someone's behaviour, how we can deal with someone that might have a fake accreditation or that's just around the venue. Really, really important. And we constantly push out, you know, what the UK threat level is, what to do if you see something, talking about run, hide, tell, talking about different things. So there's all those different courses that really, really help people.
Yeah, the more the merrier.
The more the merrier. And, you know, as things change and develop over the next few years, I believe more training will come out. Obviously, it's getting people into those courses. But a lot of it is just kind of in-house training, toolbox talks, what you can do better, how you can be better, how you can deal with things.
And when you are looking to hire new staff, yeah, what are the main traits you're looking for?
To be honest, we as an event-based business, we have quite a high amount of staff on our books. Most security staff you'll find in the event sector, they work for many companies. So I have my loyal guys, but I also have guys that work for me one day, but the Oasis gig's on this week. They might want to work the Oasis gig. We might not be doing it. They'll go and work for another company. That's how the event sector is for most door supervisors and stewards. You know, it's, you go to the best event, you go and work. So I think for us, we are always looking for staff because our business needs staffing. You know, festivals require sometimes up to 200-300 staff per festival. So we have a constant recruitment process going on. So it's really good for us if people come with training already, any specialist training. We try to develop people that come in through the door as well. I try to meet as many people as I can. But, you know, the odd time you really get someone that comes in that's different. They might come in with some qualifications already. They might have a Level 3. And it's like, right, that's great because you've got that supervisory experience. We can put you out in the field. We can develop you more, get you onto Level 4 courses, get you onto Level 5 courses and really help you grow. In general, you know, stewarding and security staff, there is thousands of them. Some are great. Some are not. But, you know, you have to have a variety of staffing for the different roles. You know, you have more specialist roles where you might need a certain caliber, and you have some roles that, you know, in theory, anybody can do that's come out and done a door supervisor course, got that license, and you can say, right, you're going to start on here. You can learn how to search today. You might be external, and then you grow, you know, people want to move into response. That's everyone's kind of dream. I want to be on response. I want to run around. I want to reject people. So that's kind of their next goal. Everyone likes to work up to that or to be a supervisor. And we've brought up a lot of young supervisors recently. Really important for me to develop people within the teams to make our lives easier and just to help them. And if they're really inspirational, it really helps the people underneath them come up. So really, really important.
100%. And going back to when you were actually in your yeah, event days, what kind of role was it that you enjoyed the most?
I mean, I was definitely wanting to be in response. I think that's probably why I named the company this, because it was kind of like response sec. That works. We just got response with a C on the end. And we kind of started in that sector. So originally, the big companies, who now I'm probably not too far underneath them, would call me and say, damn, we need some response guys for this festival. Can you bring some guys in? And that's how we started. And that's how the name came. Although that's not what we do anymore, only. Some people still think that, oh, response sec, oh, you only do response. No, we do everything. Anything you want in security, we will do. But yeah, I've started, I've been on the ground, I've been on an exit. My first job as a doorman, I remember I turned up in a suit, it was oversized. I went to the door, nobody knew me, they didn't care about me. Oh, who's this guy? He's the new guy. They put me on the back door, I was freezing. Stood there for 5 hours like this, freezing. Nobody cared about me. It's funny because I still know some of those people now, funny enough, and it's a small world. But yeah, you know, you have to start somewhere and you have to learn and you have to develop and you have to build your skills. Really, really important. And you can only do that by getting that experience out in the field.
Nice. Now, moving on to high pressure situations, because nothing always goes right. There's always hiccups and that kind of thing. Have you got any examples about maybe when something was starting to go wrong and response sec? Save the day.
I wouldn't say I've got any real direct ones, but I think anytime in a festival environment, when you look at what they call a show stop, that is probably the most tense time, or a really serious medical. And they do happen, unfortunately, often. And a show stop is where the show is stopped temporarily or permanently due to a crowd issue or a serious medical issue or due to weather. You know, if we've got lightning on the way, things like that, these kind of things would stop or pause a show. I've been in quite a few show stops. They're very tense. It's a big decision to call as well. You know, I'm actually trained and qualified in stopping shows, but it's a scary moment to stop a show. I could talk about a scenario as well. It wasn't in this country, but it was in Africa. We went to work on a festival there with my colleagues, and we had to stop the show because the crowd got into the festival. They took over. The police, who were meant to be doing the security, had left. And, you know, my colleague had to stop the show. Very tense. It could be concerning for your clients, you know, but safety was first and safety was paramount. Medicals can be quite tense if you've got a really serious medical, if you've had a major incident inside a venue, anything that involves any terrorism, not that I've been involved in anything like that, but, you know, that is a concern of us every day. I always brief the staff that a terror attack is due in this country. It's just when it's going to happen, and it's going to be probably mass casualty, and we really, really need to be alert and aware of our surroundings and what's going on. Really, really important.
I can imagine as well, the key is kind of staying calm in those situations.
It is so staying calm.
How do people do that? Because it's chaos unfolding.
It's not easy, but you kind of, I think adrenaline kicks in when you're dealing with a situation. You know, I've had to go to a lot of emergency meetings when a festival's going on. I can't really talk about certain scenarios, but there is times we've had to go into something because there may be intel from the police. There may be an incident happening in a part of the park I don't know about, or a part of the site, you know, so you go into those meetings and you have to remain calm, and adrenaline definitely takes over. You might afterwards be like, wow, that was crazy. But at the time, it's, you've got to keep your head cool because everyone underneath me is looking to me for guidance. So when I make that decision or when I'm in that meeting, you know, I'm thinking in my head, right, how can I make sure everyone's safe? What can we do? And you're talking to the other parties, the other stakeholders, and what we're all going to do. And sometimes, you know, it leads to nothing. Sometimes it leads to a show stop. Sometimes it leads to getting an ambulance through the site. So things do happen. This is the real world and we have to be honest about it.
And I imagine as well, communication is key, making sure all the staff members are in sync, basically.
Definitely, communication is key. On most events and festivals, you'll have code words, you'll have messages. You know, like when you go into a train station one day, you might hear, can Mr. Sands come to the control room? You know, if you know what that is, you know what that is. That's a warning, there's a fire alarm going off or something like that, or there's a lost child, there's different codes in different places. So you kind of know about those and you know what to do. And staff are briefed to listen out to that messaging, to listen to your radios, to know what to do in them situations. If we're having an evacuation, where to go, where to stand, where to be. You know, your own safety is paramount as well. But, you know, I think, and I always tell security professionals that we need to do our best to get everyone else out, and we then get out as well.
So yeah, with crowds, I mean, they're completely unpredictable. Anything can happen. So what would you say is your kind of top tip for security professionals if things do start to go wrong?
I think my top tip is to remain calm, remain professional at all times. Remember the training that you've had. Remember everything you've learned when you've watched, for example, if it was an unfortunate terror attack, what you learned in your ACT training, how to deal with it, run, hide, tell, who to alert. You've got to stay calm because if we panic, that makes everyone else panic. And people look to security as the answer. They see you in that high vis. They want the answer from you. Where do I go? What way do I go? And that all comes within the briefings and the training that people have done. Really, really important. Stay calm. Alert who you need to alert. Look after yourself as well. Really, really important.
Are there any specific kind of strategies that response sec use?
I think we just use whatever everyone else kind of uses in the industry. And it's what you've learned through the training from ACT, run, hide, tell, or scan training, these kind of things. Everything they're briefed. The strategies are kind of the same. You know, there's no, because everyone has to work to the same model, whether that's the cleaners, whether that's the catering staff, you all have to work to that same model. Yes, security will be the paramount under the police, but it's getting everyone to safety as quickly as possible and looking after yourself.
Yeah. I can imagine as well, I mean, you probably still go to big events and festivals outside of ResponseSec.
Yeah.
Do you find it hard to kind of switch off, or are you constantly kind of monitoring around, see what the teams are doing?
I mean, I don't really have a life. Security is my life, but it's quite sad. If I go to a festival or an event when I'm not actually wearing black, that's a whole other thing. If I go there actually in my own clothes, it's rare, but you cannot switch off. You literally, you're looking around, you're watching the crowd, you're watching the movement of the security. Very interesting when you go to other countries as well, because it's very different. The rules and the laws and the safety advice we have here, when you go to another place, is very different. So when I've worked around the world, I'm like, oh, we would never do that in the UK, but in that country, it's fine. And you have to adapt and you learn. But I think, yeah, it's really hard. I know a lot of people, so you turn up, oh, Dan's here, then I might go and stand in the pit. And then I'm thinking, why am I in the pit? Because I shouldn't be in the pit. I'm not working. You're not paying me.
I'm here
me.
To so, enjoy myself. Yeah,
but it's the best view. So it is quite hard. It is hard to switch off. And you might see things, and you might alert a security officer and say, look, there is a person under that tree who's a bit worse for wear. Can you call medical? It's a natural thing.
Yeah, I was at the London Stadium a couple of weeks ago for Sam Fender.
Oh, wow.
And I was looking around, I was scanning, and who was there? ResponseSec. And I must say, everyone who I saw was doing a great job. Everyone was super friendly, helping when you were asked, basically. So, yeah, that was nice to see.
It's a good concert, really a nice venue as well. They have a lot of companies that work there. We are one of the companies that supply there. Amazing venue, 80,000 people in the heart of London. It was a good concert. I don't know who Sam Fender was, but I know he's from Newcastle now. And he had a lot of fans. But it was a really cool gig.
Yeah. So what are the kind of the biggest mistakes that you see that other people do whilst working at events?
Oh, I think it's keeping switched on. And I think, you know, it happens to everyone, not just other companies or ourselves. You know, it's keeping the staff motivated and switched on. My biggest pain is staff on their mobile phones, filming the show. I hate it. Staff not dressed correctly, staff are sleeping on position. I've seen some videos on TikTok and stuff like that. It's really trying to keep them motivated and understanding that they are representing either my brand or the brands we're working on behalf of. Really, really important. I won't really say there's mistakes, but there is things that could go wrong in planning, and that can happen to anybody. It's really, really important that you plan and do your research on the crowd, the event, because you could go to an event and you don't know it's quite a heavy rock concert, for example, and you don't have enough staff in the pit barrier. Because if you've got heavy rockers that jump over the pit and come, you need to be ready for that. And that's a tough day in the office. It's fun and safe, but you're sweating. A bit like now, too. But it is hard work. You're literally doing a gym workout, pulling people over the barrier. They go back in the crowd. You see the same person again, and it ain't the lightest person that's coming over. He's being carried over the barrier. You're getting them down. They go around, they come back. So that's a tough day in the office, but it's just making sure that the planning is done to the best of your ability. Mistakes will happen. Errors will happen. It's how we work on fixing that for the next time and how we can make the event safer. We all learn every day. And there's no one specialist that can come and say, I can do it perfectly. Because you don't know. We cannot control the crowd's behaviour.
Every crowd's different, isn't it?
And we can help control it, but we cannot fully control it. We have to put in mitigating circumstances to be able to deal with that.
Now, speaking of crowds and crowd safety, what, for an attendee's kind of point of view, what would you say your top tip is for someone attending like a big festival?
I think just making sure people know where you are, people know how to get in contact with you. If it's a hot day, staying hydrated, the amount of medicals we deal with in heat. And I'd say dress correctly when the weather's bad, because some people still dress like they're on a beach and it's freezing cold. And then we find them in medical like this, shivering. Definitely make sure people know where you are, contact numbers. If you're with your friends and you get separated, get to the nearest welfare area or speak to the nearest security officer. And I think definitely if you see something that doesn't look right, I sound like the guy on the train now, see it, say it, sorted. But we do actually work on the railway as well, so that's kind of in my head. But, you know, if you see something that doesn't look right, report it, speak to someone, because that's how things get solved quickly. And people sometimes think, oh, that person's acting a bit strange, but they don't say anything. It's really important that they do, because you know, we can help protect them and everybody else in conjunction with, you know, the rest of the security or the police or the relevant authorities.
Is there a safety concern that you think people kind of overlook that security are ready for?
I think with drinks and stuff like that, drink and drugs, definitely. I mean, you know, there is recreational drugs, obviously. But I think that some people get really carried away or they take things that they don't know what they are and they get themselves in a really bad situation. And I've been to way too many medicals from drug overdoses and things like that. And it is scary. It's not nice to see. And I think people should be really, really careful. They really need to make sure they're drinking water, not too much alcohol, but drinking water, looking after themselves, and really just making sure people know where they are, who they're with, staying close to your friends. Really, really important. Again, we find people that have been separated from friends. Friends have left them because they've had too much to drink. Oh, we're not interested. But that's not fair. You need to look after each other when you go to a festival. It's a big site. You know, most festivals, 20, 30, 40,000 people, you can get lost quite easily.
I think that's a really important point as well. With festivals, there's always a big drug scene, isn't there?
Yeah.
And I haven't been to a festival in years, but I remember a few years ago, there was the loop that set up where you can go and test your drugs. Is that still a thing at events?
It's still a thing in some events. It depends on the local police force. But I know, for example, the Metropolitan Police are taking a big stance on drugs. So, for example, in football nowadays, if you're caught with any drugs, your details are taken. There's possible prosecution. You're ejected from the venue. Drugs in football is unfortunately a massive problem. And people tend to take substances and then start acting wild and running around the football club, not really enjoying the game. And in festivals, again, it is a big problem. There is a massive culture of drug taking. We do a lot of work around working with drug detection dogs, trying to limit the drugs that get into festivals. Really, really important. Speaking to people, giving them advice. Like I said, the Met in London on a lot of big festivals now are doing a lot of work around that. So they, on some festivals I've been to, they're actually testing the drugs to find out what's actually in. Because some people buy something and it's not even drugs. They don't even realise. But they're testing it and giving advice and also doing prosecutions now for it. And I think until it's more seriously taken, people will just continue to do it. And what they don't realise is, you know, especially in a hot day, you take something, you add that with alcohol, you end up passed out under a tree. You've not actually enjoyed the festival. And you could end up in hospital and you could end up sadly dead.
Not worth it.
Not worth it. Go and enjoy it. Go and enjoy it. You've paid 90 quid to go to a concert. Have a couple of ciders and relax and enjoy.
Idiots.
I agree.
Right, now let's move on to like a kind of a quick fire question round.
Right, go on. Right.
So what would you say is the first bit of equipment you have if you're working an event?
Ooh. Oh, for a newbie or for someone like me?
For a newbie. So
for a newbie, I think the first thing for a newbie is they got to go out and buy a uniform. That's always their hardest thing. Because you end up like people all go and buy a suit and they turn up to a festival in a white shirt and black tie and a suit. And I'm like, this is not the attire for a festival. Torch is definitely one. An earpiece. Oh, there's so many. Nowadays, everyone buys a tactical bag and they've got it hanging around them, you know, with nothing in it. So yeah, a tactical bag, what else? I think for someone like me, I think I've got everything. I kind of, all the gear and no idea, no.
So what's the first bit of equipment you're checking then?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. A lot of, when I was coming up in security, it always said have a pen. Right. It's the strangest thing you think about, but it's so important you can take notes. I know now technology, you can use your phone and stuff like that. You're not meant to have your phone out when you're working. So, but a pen is a crucial piece of equipment and your briefing document. Actually, we're going to go with briefing document. Make sure you've got your briefing document and you've read it. It's really important because that tells you everything you need to know. I know it's not really equipment, but it is important.
It counts.
We'll take that.
All right. What do you think is the most rewarding part of working in event security specifically?
For me, everyone getting home safely. It's really, really rewarding. And seeing people smiling and enjoying themselves, coming out, enjoying the festival. And when they leave and they say, thank you so much, it makes me feel that we've done our job to the best of our ability. Or when we solve an issue, save a life, get someone to medical that needed it, get someone the help they needed. It's really, really rewarding. Finally, I know these are quick fires on one answer, but staff, when they've had a really good day, they've enjoyed the job they come to do, they're leaving with a smile on their face, ready to come back, especially if it's a 2-day or a 3-day, are ready to come back and do it all again.
Do you think event security is probably one of the most fun elements of security in whole?
Definitely.
You
definitely.
See cool acts and
yeah, you get to, why would you not want to do a festival or an event? I've seen some of the most amazing things in my 25 years. We checked this today. It was 25 years since I started doing security. And I've got to travel around the world. I've got to see some amazing acts. People that I wouldn't even... literally 3 days ago, I was at Iron Maiden concert. Not my type of music, but what a great atmosphere. 80,000 heavy drinking rockers enjoying a local band, you know, because they're from Leighton. It was in Stratford. And seeing people leave happy after really, really enjoying it. And I've got to see things like that. I've got to be in those events. I've done a lot of one-offs in my time as well, things that may never come back, but I've been part of that. And it's so good for the staff, especially if they get a really good position. It's really important if, you know, if you're at a concert and it's someone you like, that you get to work in the pit barrier or something like that, because you get that whole atmosphere. Although you're facing the other way, the sound from the speakers and the atmosphere is amazing.
What's one thing that people get wrong about security at events?
I think that we're all still bouncers. I think that, and that we're not there to help them. I think that some members of the public don't respect us. It's really, really tough. You know, the guys are out there to do a job and we're there to help everyone get home safely. And sometimes, you know, you might be ejecting somebody and everyone gets involved, but they don't actually know what that person's done. But they get involved because they think you're doing it overzealously and things like that. It's really important you don't do that. It's really important. We train our staff, you know, hands-on is the last resort, but unfortunately sometimes you do. But I think people do get that part wrong, or when they think that we're just all horrible people. I try to train my staff, smile. Three S's, safety, security, and service. Really, really important. Smile, deal with people how you want to be treated. Really, really important.
And what do people get wrong about working as a security officer at an event?
Funny enough, I see some TikTok sometimes and people are like, oh yeah, go to work, don't do nothing, stand on a gate. That really irritates me because they don't actually know how crucial that gate is. It might be the most boring position, but you're there for a reason. If there's an emergency, you're there to open that gate to get people out to safety. So there is some people, unfortunately, in this industry that come to get a quick buck, you know, and it is a second job for a lot of people. You know, they might have a full-time job. They do this on the weekends or they do this in the evenings to make some extra money. And I think that's what security is really good for. But yeah, some people do come and not want to work. They've come to enjoy the event. You know, they've come to have a dance when we can't catch them. So it does happen, but yeah.
Biggest challenge, managing a crowd.
Wow. I think that you have to remember when you go in there that, you know, people's lives are in your hands. People don't actually understand that part of it. You know, me, depending on what role we're doing at that event, I want everyone to go home safely. It's really, really important. And it's making crowds actually understand what they're doing as well, how they can make it safer. You know, if you're pushing, if you're shoving, if you're trying to get into an area that you shouldn't be in, that's putting other people at risk. And there's definitely needs to be some work on that around public perception and what we need to help kind of advise the public. So there's a documentary currently on Netflix where people tragically lost their lives in a crowd, you know, due to crowd crushing. Crowd crushing can happen at any time. Crowd movement, the way the crowds move, sway. Anything that can happen when there's a certain artist on a stage. So much work goes in now, even to programming, where what artist is on what stage. So that, you know, if you've got a multiple stage site, that you don't have the whole crowd at one stage at one time. Crowd crush happens more than we believe. We really make sure everyone is safe, you know, especially people at the front of the barrier, what we call the pit barrier, things like that. And to make sure there's no pressure on them, because it can be very dangerous, and getting people out as quickly as we can.
Do you have, like, what's the craziest thing you've ever had to deal with at a festival?
Wow. Wow. You're putting me on the spot there. I've dealt with so much. I don't even know what the craziest is. And I'll probably remember after this interview. But I've dealt with so much. You know, as I said, like, the event that we done in Africa was quite challenging. It's very different. The rules and regulations there are very different. And then trying to argue with an artist who's on the stage who doesn't want to come off the stage when we're telling him that the show is stopped and his bodyguards are trying to fight me when I'm trying to grab the mic off him is quite challenging. And they were very big guys. I think, yeah, that's probably one of the craziest moments I've been in, because my head was in that space of let's get everyone out of here. The show has to stop. My colleagues are calling me, you know, we need to get this guy off the microphone. I'm speaking to him on the middle of the stage and he's just carrying on with no backing music, you know, he's just carrying on rapping. So yeah, challenging, very challenging. But we've dealt with so much, you know, and that's years of experience, I think. And I'm lucky, and I'm, like I said, I'm still learning. There's still going to be a scenario that I've never dealt with. And it will challenge me, but I'm up for the challenge.
For sure, for sure. And finally, what is one thing that you would change about event security if you could?
One thing I would change, I think it's probably public perception. Just that we're not big, we're not all big burly doormen with bald heads and MA2 bomber jackets. That is gone. That was cool in the 80s and 90s, but that's changed now. You know, there's people from all walks of life in security, all genders, all races. It's very different. And we are just humans like yourself. And remember that we're there to try and keep you safe.
Again, I've said this so many times, but I feel like people just wouldn't go to festivals or big events if there weren't security there.
Of course.
It would just be chaos.
It would be chaos. And we have to be there. You know, we're there to look after you. Maybe sometimes we might ruin your day, you know, if you get searched and we take your secret bottle of alcohol that you've hidden. But it's for a reason.
For sure. Now, looking ahead, event security in the future, where do you think it's going? Is there any like cool technologies or anything that coming up that you think that's going to completely change the game?
I think that there's a lot more use of drones at the moment, and that's to kind of monitor crowd movement. It's really, really great to have an eye in the sky. You know, we can't all afford a helicopter to come over and fly over like the police can. So drones are being used a lot more to monitor crowd flow, especially during what we call the egress into the area, we call Zone X, which is outside of a festival, really, really important area of a festival. When you go back to the Manchester inquiry, what happened in Zone X. So that's as people are leaving in an area that's not necessarily part of your festival footprint, but it does come under your responsibility now to get people to their station and get them home. So drones are being used to monitor crowd flow. You can see much better than just hearing from a radio of someone that's on the ground who's probably standing up as high as they can get to see how the crowd's moving. I think AI, I'm not a big specialist on it, but I definitely think that will be something that will come into play over the next few years. The thing with our kind of work is that the basic technology has to be supported by boots on the ground. It's actually the guys on the ground that you have to move into those locations when the technology tells you what to do. I don't think technology could ever take over this industry. 100%. Unless we get AI security officers.
Robots.
Yeah, robots. And I think they'd be rubbish, to be honest. If I get replaced by a robot, it's the end of life.
No, fair enough. And obviously Martin's Law is coming into effect very soon. What are you doing to kind of prepare for that?
So with Martin's Law, there's still a lot of work going on in the background. We've still got about 2 years until it comes into play. Some venues are looking at it now and what they can do to be better and prepared for it. It all depends on the venue and venue sizes. There's so different rules or laws, should I say, are in place depending on the size of your venue and the amount of people that you can hold in there. I think that parts of Martin's Law or some of the changes are already in place because venues have changed since the Manchester inquiry. Things like training being more important to security staff, making sure they all complete it. You know, nowadays we're asking people to do ACT training at least once a year just to constantly have that refresher, because you sit there and you think you know it all and people don't. You know, I brief staff all the time about terrorism and they probably want to fall asleep when I'm giving them that briefing because they think it's never going to happen. But it's really, really important we take it seriously. And Martin's Law is going to be a massive change for the industry and for venues and make them safer. And that's what's really important.
100%. And now for the future of ResponseSec, where do you see yourselves going in the future? Are you going to stick with events?
So events is one sector of our business. It is the main sector. We also do railway security. So we do some work on trains and stations. And that is another sector we really, really like working in. I think we're just growing. It's bringing more people into our team, growing that team, as much as the office is way too noisy now with the amount of people we have in there. You know, growth is happening and we have to grow with it. But we're very careful. We don't just take anything. We are quite selective who we work with and what we do. You can be greedy in this industry. You could take everything that comes to your door, but then you might fail or you could ruin your reputation. Reputation is so important for me, for the brand and for my team. And we work really hard on that and keeping that. So let's see what the future holds. We're definitely growing. We're definitely getting bigger. We want to be up there in the big league with some of the others. And then maybe I can go and live in Dubai.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you.
Dan, it's been absolutely fantastic. One more question before we do wrap up. For anybody who is thinking about getting into event security, What piece of advice would you give them?
I'd say go for it. I think if you've got an SIA license, especially a door supervisor license, and you're working maybe in corporate or you're working in retail, use your days off and do events. It's what it's there for. Events are ad hoc work. It's great work. It's extra and it's something different. You might get to work at some of the coolest places you've ever worked at, get to be in, you know, I've got guys that work in a certain football stadium who get to watch Premier League football every week for free, sitting on the pitch side, you know, and getting paid for it. You know, it's great. So there is lots of great parts of it and it's definitely something to do. And it's definitely something to bring you some extra money and extra finances.
100%. Well, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much.
If anyone watching, it has been about 30 odd degrees in here. So that's why yes. We have been quite sweaty. But that's all from us today. Thank you very much for watching and we'll see you on the next one.
Thank you.